For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Okay, who's the next question? I have my list here. Is it my turn to call on someone? Right? Okay, how about NPR, Tamara Keith?
Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 5:09 in the p.m. here at 101.9 News Talk STL. No, that was not a repeat, but they pretty much all sound the same. Joe Biden's latest press conference following his first state visit of Emmanuel Macron from France, trying to figure out which reporter he's supposed to call on for which pre-prepared question next. This looks so much not like the United States of America, Chris. It looks like a banana republic.
Yeah, our president is in obvious decline. We talked about that clip this morning on Newsmax, and we also talked about the fact that the press secretary insisted that President Joe Biden has visited the border. And records indicate the last time he visited the border was as vice president in 2008. But she was insistent, adamant about it. Reporters were calling her out on it, and she acting like she had the truth on her side.
It's like we're watching a show, you know, of a bunch of people pretending to be running the White House. You know, it just looks like some really bad B movie, because none of them know what they're talking about. Joe Biden's trying to figure out which of his cue cards he's supposed to pull out next. Mm-hmm. Obvious issues that we should be tackling, this administration is completely ignoring.
And as we talked about earlier, and the media are complicit and covering up for him, and they feel that they have cover now because the elections weren't a blowout for the Democrats as they thought it was, and they are incredibly blaming Joe Biden for the Democrats' resurrection.
Hmm. Can I bring up one other note from that meeting with Macron?
Absolutely.
He made a reference to the founding of our country, giving thanks to France for being there to help us with the foundation of our nation, and expressed our thanks to Marquis de Lafayette. Not Marquis de Lafayette.
The Marquis.
Marquis de Lafayette. and Macron's sitting right there next to him, and I'm sure he had to be thinking, well, why am I even here?
This is such a joke. I'm just doing the senile old idiot, you know. Yeah. It is. And then, you know, and then the background of all this is, it just shows, it's like the decline of the United States of America is going on right behind Joe Biden, and he's completely oblivious to it. They were just showing on the Big Fox here the fact that and they're all out at the Reagan Library this weekend for, I know it's an annual confab. The Reagan National Defense Survey came out this week, and it showed a lot of bad indicators about the preparedness of our military. We're like failing in every category, and Americans are noticing. They're noticing that we are weaker, not stronger, from the Afghanistan evacuation to Joe Biden's mishandling of communist China.
And that's one of the issues dealing with this end of the year, trying to get a budget done. There is talk of doing a continuing resolution for the next year until October, which what that does is it freezes spending at the current levels, which as conservatives, we like spending to be cut. But this also affects the military, and the military is complaining that this affects some of their contracts, and that with the continuing resolution at this year's budget levels, that's a budget cut because of inflation. So that's kind of a bad thing about this one-year CR that McConnell is negotiating with Schumer about.
Yeah, we'll have to talk to Jim Talent about that on Monday and get his thoughts not only on the Reagan National Defense Survey and all the bad news that came out of that, but the funding of the military. I'll bet you Jim's going to tell us that the Biden administration isn't funding the military anywhere near what it should be, while we spend trillions of dollars on this climate cult and this green fever dream.
Yeah, and it said with this year's spending going into next year, inflation is at 7%, 8%. I mean, you're effectively, that's an 8% cut in the Pentagon budget. And we had Senator Jim Talent on last year and last week. And remember what he told us, that if the American people knew how much disrepair our military is in, especially when it comes to our ships and our submarines, they would be appalled. There's not going to be money for that. that if they just do a continuing resolution.
Well, you heard whose fault that is, the inflation this week, didn't you? It's our fault for all these luxury goods we've been buying, according to Janet Yellen on the late night comedy show.
Yeah, it's amazing because first they said that inflation is transitory, and then they said this is Putin's price hikes, and now it's our fault. So it's been a, it eventually got down to us.
Stell's been purchasing too many Pelotons in his spare time.
And until it shows you what a crazy statement is that inflation is caused by Americans overheating the economy. It's like, look, it's consumer spending accounts for 2/3 of the economy. Most retailers make the majority of their money for the year during the Christmas season. To hear a administration official talking down spending is just ludicrous. I know we have high inflation, and that's part of the process of raising the rates to cut spending, but don't denigrate us. The economy.
Yeah, you know where all the money is? It's not in people's pocketbooks. It's in the government coffers. Mm-hmm. In the state of Missouri alone, this came out this week, the state of Missouri is projected in the very near future to have a $15 billion surplus. Just to give you an idea how big that number is, when I left the house 8 years ago, our budget was approximately $25 billion. We're now projected to have a $15 billion surplus with a total budget of over $45 billion. Hmm. So the money is in the government coffers because the federal government put it there, Janet Yellen. And don't you guys get aggravated that these high-ranking administration officials go on late-night comedy talk shows to make news? They won't sit for a real interview with a real interviewer.
Yeah, you know, they've taken the calculation years ago that your average American will not watch the nightly news. If you watch the nightly news nowadays, all of the commercials are about some medication or Geritol or directed towards old people. So they did this, I think, during 1992 when Bill Clinton resurrected his career going on the his presidential campaign, going on the Arsenio Hall show and playing the saxophone with the Blues Brothers glasses on. I think that kind of sent the template for presidential candidates to start doing late night TV because it resurrected Slick Willie's campaign.
Man, I miss Arsenio Hall.
You liked Arsenio?
I did.
That's a blast.
Those that are watching, I was doing the pump.
That's a blast from the past.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I think they also feel like it's safe ground for them that hardly anybody's watching because the viewership of these late night shows has plummeted to the point where Greg Gutfeld's news infotainment show on Fox News on a cable network is now beating all of the traditional nighttime network news shows, network comedy shows.
I mean, the audience has gone down from its heyday, but it's still a significant audience to go on and get a message out to people who get their news from Stephen Colbert instead of the nightly news or reading different publications. So it's still an audience to target.
Well, and I'm glad she did it because she screwed up. You know, she blamed Americans for all the problems that they've created. Speaking of the economy, I've got a little follow-up on it related to the jobs report that came out today. The Biden administration is crowing about it, but there are some canaries in the coal mine, and that is the subject of today's stump speech.
Listen to me, listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
So that's another reason we need communism.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
So there's a lot of problems with the what many in the Biden administration would call the excellent jobs report today. So the economic forecasters, they missed their mark again. This time to the low side. They had projected an estimated 200,000 jobs would be created in this last month of October. Instead, it was more like 275,000. Now, at first blush, everybody may be thinking, oh, great, happy days are here again. But many people are extremely concerned about this. One of them would be Jerome Powell at the Fed. Jerome Powell was not at all happy about that because he's trying to have the opposite effect on the economy. The Fed is trying to slow the economy down. They're doing it with a series of rate hikes, which have been extremely painful for many. Who? Well, if you're in the real estate industry, in the mortgage industry, in the lending industry, if you have to do anything with the back and forth of the monetary financial situations in our country, then you're being hurt right now as interest rates are approaching 6, 7, 8%. So Jerome Powell's not happy about this glowing jobs report because he's sitting there going, what else do I have to do? I'm trying to step on the brakes and the opposite effect is having. So in addition, you may be thinking, well, but still though, Tim, isn't that a great thing that the jobs report came back higher than expected? Well, who are those jobs? Who are those workers in with those jobs? There are many stories out there that are saying it's the same worker working more jobs. So your jobs may be increasing, but your actual people working full-time jobs in the workforce is actually falling, and it has been falling over the last 12 months. How do I know that? Well, simply because I've looked at the statistics. Did you know, folks, that over a half a million Americans left the labor force in the first 18 months of the Biden administration? Yeah, that's right. Nearly 2 years, what I guess we're approaching almost the third year mark since the pandemic started, the labor force participation rate, which is a much more adequate and healthy measurement of the true nature of the economy. And we'll ask Dr. Aaron Hedlund about that next when he comes on with us to see if I'm correct on that or not. I think it's a much healthier measurement of where the economy really is because I've had so many economists tell me that. It has not recovered to pre-pandemic levels. That means Joe Biden is really failing to get the whole of the economy back on track. Under President Donald Trump, for comparison, Americans entered the labor force. The labor force increased. There were more people in it. For example, the rate of women in the labor force consistently rose month over month under Trump pre-pandemic. What's happened? Well, many would argue the Democrats' excessive welfare policies, the massive, the multi-trillion dollar expansion of the welfare state incentivized many people to avoid work and instead sit at home and wait for more and more government checks. The Bureau of Labor Statistics, who's that? That's the government. That's the federal government. Their data shows that between November 2021 and November 2022, the last 12 months, over 506,000 Americans dropped out of the labor force. Rick Santelli, you know, the guy who's credited with starting the Tea Party with stop the spending, stop the spending, stop the spending on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Yep, he's a reporter on CNBC. He summed up the jobs report today with a labor force participation rate of 62.1%, one of the lowest ever in our nation's history. Think about that, folks. Only 62%. That means nearly 40% of the country is not in the labor force. The labor force participation rate, Rick Santelli said, is moving in the wrong direction. This is not good. It's declined now for three straight months. In November alone, a whopping 186,000 people left the labor force. Don't let the Biden administration fool you with their fake phony statistics of, well, there's all these jobs that are being created. And that means happy days are here again. No, you got to peel back the onion. You got to look at all the layers. That's what we'll do next with Dr. Aaron Hedlund. And that's the stump speech for today, December the 2nd, 2022. There you have it. Let's talk to Chris about the fact the labor force participation rate continues to fall, even as these jobs numbers continue to go up, because many feel that it's the same people working multiple jobs. So they count the jobs over and over and over again for the same people, while nearly 40% of the labor force is still out of the labor force.
Exactly. I had a question I was going to ask Dr. Hedlund. New York Times report says that men ages 35 to 44, middle-aged men, have not come back to the economy after the pandemic. And, you know, he's an academic. I'm sure he's done some research. I'd like to know why.
That question and that answer will be up next when we speak to Dr. Aaron Hedlund, chief economist at the Show Me Institute. He joins us to further unpack this jobs report and tell us, give us the real bee's knees, the real skinny on it when the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show rolls on here at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Last year, retailers saw crime spike more than 26%. I'm joined now by Matt Shea. He's the chief executive at the National Retail Federation. Matt, you call theft shrinkage, I believe. That's the technical word for it, shrinkage. I'm told that in some cities in America, shrinkage is 20%.
That's true.
You lose 20% of what's in the store to theft. Is that accurate?
That's true. We had a group of retail CEOs together this week, many leaders from major retailers across the country. And I would say right behind concerns about the economy, the strength of the consumer, monetary policy, the Federal Reserve, inflation, the number one issue is organized retail crime. It is hurting these cities. It is hurting urban areas, employees, team members, and we need a really coordinated effort. We've got a day next week in Washington, Retail Crime Day. We're going to have crime fighters, hundreds of contacts with members of Congress to push this legislation.
That's fighting organized shoplifting, as I call it.
Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Sharp Show. Chris, another bad policy. You wonder if it's all planned out, isn't it? Defund the police and their soft on crime policies affecting the failing economy as well.
Yeah, and in fact, like they said in that quote, also affects urban areas. You know, today, this week, John Bowman, who is president of the St. Louis County NAACP, they are raising a lot of red flags because they don't want Dearburg supermarkets to get tax subsidies to build a supermarket on the old Crestwood Mall property. And they are wondering why won't Dearburgs build a place in North County, North City, which they have a supermarket in North County. But it comes down to shrinkage. And that's why Schnucks and Dearburgs and a lot of these places have left North County and North City, because they have to have security guards there, and security guards cost money, and that adds to the price of things. And so they just eventually just say it's just not worth it anymore.
And actually, Dearburgs is nowhere in the city.
Yeah. Have they ever been in the city?
No, the closest store is the one that's by the River de Pere.
Okay.
Right off of Watson / Chippewa there. And I just remember that from all the years we've lived in the city. Mm. They never have had a store in the city.
So basically they're advocating for them to put a store in there so they can lose money so they can do the right thing.
Mm. What a shame that Dearburgs doesn't feel that they have a good business model to be in the city. That's really terrible.
Yeah, because they have great stores.
Well, no business model is going to work too well when people are stealing all or robbing you blind.
Have you noticed the things that they have locked up now in stores? Things that they never, ever locked up. When they put the big plastic caps and things and tie things down. It's like, good Lord. It's like we're in some weird, you know, like Escape from Alcatraz.
Yeah, I first noticed that a few years ago when I was going to buy some laundry detergent for my mom. And I was like, my God, the Tide is behind plastic? You need somebody to get some laundry detergent now?
It's really insane.
And then razors. You can't get razors blades by yourself.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Toothpaste.
Yeah. Toothpaste on this.
It's really shocking. And it just shows the state of affairs. That shrinkage indeed. Let's talk to our next guest about all of these economic issues that we have time for this afternoon with Dr. Aaron Hedlund, chief economist at the Show Me Institute, former White House CEA, chief domestic economist, and more at Aaron_Hedlund on Twitter. Dr. Hedlund, welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show.
Pleasure to join you as always.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Hedlund, how about the big top of the fold, above the fold, head leading Chiron news blast today? And that was the jobs report. Of course, Dr. Hedlund, as always, anytime there's a glimmer of good news, the Biden administration takes it and runs with it and talks about that. And only that, is there more to consider, Dr. Hedlund, than a glowing jobs number, which was above what the forecasters anticipated?
Yeah, there absolutely are several messages beyond just what the Biden administration would like to focus on. So what they're focusing on is the 263,000 number, pretty good number. Unemployment's still low. And actually, wage growth is pretty high, which, by the way, means that the Fed is probably going to keep on raising rates because it means inflation's not going away anytime soon. But here's an interesting nugget that I bet you're not hearing about, which is that the jobs report is really two different surveys. One is how many jobs there are. The other is how many people are employed. And the part that looks at how many people are employed actually fell. Meanwhile, the number of people with two jobs went up. So some of those job gains appear to be people who are taking on second jobs, probably because they need help paying the bills with all the inflation.
Dr. Hedlund, best-selling author Robert Kiyosaki, we all know his book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He's warning that the economy is, quote, the biggest bubble in history, and he's urging investors to dump paper assets. I know that you are a real estate expert. That's one of the assets that he is urging people to invest in. What's your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, well, I would say in a rising interest rate environment, I mean, a lot of these things are going to have a tough time. I mean, real estate is, I think, in the long run, real estate, stocks, I mean, all those things are positive in the long run. But I think the housing market's in for tough times. I mean, that's one of the big downsides of inflation right now is house prices are going to be coming down because, frankly, people can't afford as much house when interest rates are 6, 7% compared to when they're 3%.
Mm-hmm. Speaking to Dr. Aaron Hedlund of the Show Me Institute. Dr. Hedlund, the other thing that we noticed in the jobs report today, and you made reference to it in the answer you previously gave about the two different surveys. First of all, could you unpack that a little further? You know, there's the jobs report, and then there's I think it's called the household survey, right? And could you, again, explain a little bit more what those have to do with? And isn't it true that the labor force participation rate, which I think you were basically implicitly referring to, it's continuing to drop? So they can keep saying there's all these jobs out there, but they're not talking about, like you did, the types of jobs they are. One person may be working three or four or five part-time jobs shouldn't be the economy that we want to rebuild, should it?
For sure. That's definitely not the economy we want to be at. So basically, they survey businesses to count how many jobs there are. And that's the payroll number. That's the 263,000 number. But then they also survey households to see what fraction of people are working. And that's where you get the unemployment number, and that's also where you get the labor force participation number. And it's interesting to compare the two. And what we see is that jobs are up, but still, you've got a lot of people on the sidelines, fewer people, a smaller percentage of people are in the labor force compared to pre-COVID. And you've got fewer people, according to the survey, working, but more people working two jobs. So it seems like that increase in jobs that we're seeing on the business side is really, at least a lot of that, people taking on second jobs because they can't keep up with the bills.
Dr. Hedlund, I can't think of her name, but I'll call her name. Pocahontas, the senator from Massachusetts, she makes one of these class warfare arguments that absolutely drives me nuts when it comes to the Federal Reserve. And we all know that, you know, you raise interest rates in a heating up economy to try to slow it down. Well, she says that is a policy that the Fed does to hurt workers and to reward business interests. Can you dispel that? I just hate when she says that.
It's a completely bizarre talking point. I mean, what workers have been hurt by over the past couple of years is their paychecks shrinking in value. And that's been happening because of high inflation. So we need someone to deal with that. Unfortunately, Senator Warren and the Biden administration and progressive left, they've been pushing inflationary policy after inflationary policy for the past couple of years. And even after the election, they basically said, we're going to do nothing different. So they keep pushing student debt bailouts, and they want to reinstate the anti-work child tax credit. All these things are causing prices to rise and paychecks to shrink. And the Fed is the only adult in the room. They were a little late to the game, for sure, but they're the only adult in the room that's doing anything about the problem at the moment.
Mm. Dr. Hedlund, we spoke earlier about Janet Yellen's comment on a late-night comedy show where, you know, the Secretary of the Treasury should probably not be trying to make news, but she made some bad news when she blamed the inflationary problem in large part on Americans and our alleged spending habits. Dr. Aaron Hedlund, it is so aggravating to have to go back and, you know, take a walk down memory lane. But, you know, I think a lot of people, they hear things and then they hear a different thing and they think, well, that must be the new story. But this issue of inflation that has been plaguing the country for well over a year now, how much would you say it has to do with blaming the American people splurging on luxury items versus the government spending trillions of dollars through the Inflation Reduction Act and other pet projects of the Biden administration?
It's a completely bizarre reversal of how things should be done. I mean, the public elects leaders to do the public's wishes. When the leaders fail, they should not be blaming the public. They should be looking at their own policies. And this applies to blaming the public. It also applies to blaming, quote-unquote, greedy corporations. The reality is, when you look at the data, inflation was low and stable for decades up until the passage of the big stimulus bill under the Biden administration in the spring of 2021. And we've had been dealing with the carnage from that ever since. This isn't because consumers suddenly became irresponsible or companies suddenly became greedy. This is because of bad policy.
Dr. Hedlund, an opinion writer in Bloomberg.com, says that stagflation is just what the economy needs and that we should have an elevated period of unemployment and inflation. Do you agree with that, sir?
No, I'm definitely never on team stagflation, I can tell you that. I'm always on team pro-growth.
There you go.
And in fact, if we had pro-growth supply-side policies, we could simultaneously have more people working and lower prices. Because guess what? Part of the reason we have inflation is these labor shortages. Businesses are having a hard time accommodating demand because they can't find the workers. So what they do is they raise prices because, again, of the stuff that's being driven by bad policy.
Speaking to Dr. Aaron Hedlund of the Show Me Institute, Aaron_Hedlund on Twitter, showmeinstitute.org. Dr. Hedlund, bill filing began here in the state of Missouri for the General Assembly's regular session, which will begin the first Wednesday in January, less than a month away, or about a month away now. And I've heard many legislators, Dr. Hedlund, talking about the fact they'd like to consider cutting the income tax here in the state of Missouri. That's against the backdrop of the largest ever state budget following a series of income tax cuts and a projected $15 billion surplus over the next couple of years. Dr. Hedlund, should Missouri legislators consider yet another cut to our income tax system? What would you like to see it look like, and is it a good idea?
They should absolutely consider very seriously and then act upon bringing the income tax rate down. I mean, you can look at states like Texas, Tennessee, Florida, gangbusters growth. And actually, even if you look at Missouri over the past few years, since income taxes started to come down in 2018 when the first one was triggered, we've started to improve ourselves. We used to be about 47th out of 50 in terms of growth, which is pretty horrible. And we're not great now, but we've moved up about 10 spots. So we're doing better than we were. And if you look about population movements, like people voting with their feet, if you compare us to Kansas, it used to be the case that more Missourians were going to Kansas than the other way around. Now more people are coming to us. And you can look at some of the other states as well. Illinois, we've been winning against Illinois for a while because it's such a basket case over there. But we've been getting further and further ahead because while Illinois raises taxes, we're cutting them. So we should keep on following that very positive pro-growth recipe.
Dr. Hedlund, a bipartisan House Select Committee is set to release what they're calling a first-of-its-kind documentary-style film on income inequality in America. Do you promise after you review that film with your family that you will come back and give us a review of that film, sir?
Well, I can't say I'm excited about reviewing it, but for the sake of serving the public, I will gladly do it.
We won't do that to you, Doctor. I can only imagine. I'm sure this film will Goebbels, the German propaganda master, I think he will be very proud. Goebbels, I think he'll be very proud of this production.
Class warfare, it's amazing how that bad argument never goes away.
Aaron, I saw an interesting headline today, a Today in History headline. And on this day in history, in 2001, 21 years ago, Enron filed for bankruptcy. Well, now we have another debacle in our country that some have called makes Enron look like romper room, and that is this FTX scandal involving Sam Bankman-Fried. From what you've seen, read, heard, is this a potential economic scandal of epic proportions rivaling Enron, or is it much ado about nothing, and what, if anything, should Congress be doing instead of, you know, glorifying Sam Bankman-Fried and putting him on, primetime interviews on ABC News with George Stephanopoulos?
Well, I mean, the left is always looking for anyone who gives big money to the left gets the special treatment. And then when you realize the corruption is involved, they want to kind of change the subject. So that's nothing new. I'd say on the economic side, I mean, I don't see FTX affecting the whole economy per se, because, you know, crypto is still, you know, just, it's, a relatively minor part of the economy. It obviously gets a lot of attention. But this just goes to show, you know, we need to be careful. We need to be diligent. I don't think that the answer is Congress jumping in and doing a whole lot. It'd be great to have some oversight, but I'm definitely not a fan of overregulation either.
Dr. Hedlund, do you have a article that you want to recommend to us? And what is the last book you have read?
Oh, my goodness. Well, in terms of the last book I've read, I read so many articles. It's been a while since I've actually read a novel. That's something I should be doing over the holidays, that's for sure. And people go to showmeinstitute.org. There's always a lot of great content on there. And actually, you mentioned bill filing. Pretty soon, we'll be coming out with our legislative blueprint, which will have some really top-level ideas for what Missouri can do to keep moving up those growth rankings.
Fantastic. We'll stay tuned to showmeinstitute.org and talk to you about that next week as well as we move closer to the legislative session. Dr. Ern Hedlund, thank you for joining Chris and I again today.
Thank you, doctor.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you as well. All right, there we go. We had our legal eagle and we had our economics eagle on the same day as usual as we wrap up and head towards the weekend. It is 5:42. We've got one more segment to roll through this hour before we hit 6 o'clock. In the 6 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Zach Smith, legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And then at 8 p.m. tonight, Pocket Watching with JT. You should check out Pocket Watching with JT. Stell will be here with JT. They'll talk about a lot of economic, financial, and other news of the day. It's a very fun and entertaining show indeed that you'll learn lots from indeed. All right, Chris, Stell, and I will be back right for this on the Tim Jones and Chris Sharp Show heading up towards the 6 o'clock hour. It's 5:43 in the Heartland, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Yeah, but Twitter's a private company too. So why is Twitter getting one treatment and Apple's getting another is my question.
Well, these are completely two different circumstances. You're talking about the potential. Well, you're talking about the potential for perhaps foreign investment and involvement in the management of Twitter. That's a different issue than what we're talking about here, which is a business decision by Apple with respect to how one of their applications is being utilized.
Certainly,
those
they're getting influenced
issues.
by a foreign government, and that government is China. And Apple's policies—they've changed policies specifically for China when it comes to what they put on their phones.
Right.
I mean,
and
that seems like something that the White House ought to be able to keep an eye on.
I certainly think that's a fair question to ask Apple and try to make them communicate why they did this.
But I'm asking, has the White House done that? Have you reached out to them as a matter of national security, since we obviously have national security concerns with China, who they seem to be aiding this process?
Sure. I don't have any communications to speak to specifically with Apple executives. Again, it's a private company. They make these policies, and they should have to answer for that. What we want to see is that citizens are reliably able to communicate, whether it's a time of crisis or not.
Yeah, but I go back to this same thing, because we were just told that the White House will keep an eye on Twitter because they're concerned about the new Twitter 2.0 that Elon Musk is putting in, where he wants more free speech on Twitter. So they're going to keep an eye on Twitter, and yet you're taking a hands-off approach. You say there's been no communication with Tim Cook at Apple about this process in China with the Chinese government?
Martha, I'm not aware that there's been any conversations specifically with Apple on this particular issue. It's a private company. And as for Twitter, again, Martha, these are apples and oranges.
Boy, Martha McCallum knows how to go toe-to-toe, doesn't she? I mean, she's fantastic when she gets fired up.
Yeah, she was. That was 60 Minutes quality there.
I put her way above them. You know, it's an ideological problem the White House has, don't you think? I mean, they don't have a problem with Apple because Apple does business in China and the administration wants to protect China. But, of course, they're going to get all up in Elon Musk's business because he has a different ideological slant than Apple apparently these days.
Yeah, and it just shows the hypocrisy of our national sports leagues like the NBA and our Hollywood, who are bending over backwards because of the Chinese market and the billions of dollars they can make.
Mm-hmm. Forgot to mention this earlier today. We did mention that we're going to start doing giveaways next week. I need to remind you all that you can register at newstalkstl.com as many times as you want to give yourselves a better chance to win some of our fantastic prizes that we're giving away for the St. Louis Conservative Christmas, here for our second Christmas already at newstalkstl. Gift cards from Steph's Pizza, Great Harvest Bread Company, Bluff City Outdoors, tickets to the aquarium here at Union Station and the Big Wheel. We've got t-shirts, we've got Nutcracker tickets, courtesy of the St. Louis Ballet, tickets for Monster Jam, Disney on Ice, the City Museum, all kinds of stuff and more. That'll start next week, but you can go to newstalkstl.com and register now. Can believe we're talking about Christmas? It's 23 days away.
Amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Christmas parties start, I know, this weekend. Folks, be careful as you're out and about. You heard Steve Templeton talk about the these winds. It's really windy outside, and they're supposed to really pick up overnight until about 3 a.m. And then I guess the good Lord shuts the fan off or something. I'm not sure what happens.
It's unusually warm outside. And, you know, when it's warm in the winter, you know, there's tornadoes and thunderstorms and rough weather like that. And I just realized I'm talking to a meteorologist.
To be honest with you, we asked Steve why we haven't been getting much rain as these fronts have come through over the last couple of weeks. And he said there just hasn't been enough precipitation forming in this area. But you were down in Louisiana where they had a ton of storms the last couple of days, and they had enough precipitation coming off of the Gulf of Mexico to help those storms form down there. We just haven't had much here at all, and you're right, you would normally expect some pretty intense weather. Speaking of being down there, we had earlier in the show talked about you being in Baton Rouge, and Tim, you made a comment about midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. Is that correct? And Linda Schlottelback, one of our great listeners, pointed out that it's actually based in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, that was in Georgia.
And I made that
just
mistake,
up the road.
Too.
Yeah.
I always thought it was New Orleans, and my wife corrects me, and she told me, no, that it was in Savannah, Georgia.
And by the way, Linda said the book is really good, but the movie's only so-so.
Yeah, I've heard that, too. Well, thank you to Linda. As usual, and as is customary, the women in our life are always correct.
That's right.
That was what's his name in that movie? The weirdo who's in trouble for everything right now.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about? From
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
Whoa. Talk about a career that fell hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And he's trying to make a comeback. I think somebody was going to put him in a film lately, and then they changed their mind. And it's a shame. I don't particularly care for his politics or his personal lifestyle, but he's a very good actor. I will give him that.
Yes.
Same with Sean Penn. I don't care for his politics, but I can't take away the fact that both of them are very good actors.
I thought Spacey was out of legal trouble at this point, but apparently he's now under all sorts of investigations and indictments in the UK. So he's dealing with stuff across the pond now with involvement that he had over there.
Look, the Bill Cosby incident should let you know that there are no statute of limitations on allegations, and that if someone can claim that you drugged her and raped her back in the 70s and in the 2000s, you can be convicted for that and go to jail. There is no statute of limitations, it seems, on sexual allegations.
And to make matters worse with Spacey, they're not just talking about hers, they're talking about hims. Him as well. So he's got all kinds of, and I think he's got civil suits as well for multi-millions of dollars that he's being pursued on. So he's got a long time to
You know, speaking of the UK, we had talked about it a little bit yesterday and the day before, the passing of Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac. And for those of us who grew up with their music, and she goes back to the early 70s with the band, it was a kind of a shocker. And I did not realize she was 79.
I didn't either. I didn't realize she was almost 80 years old.
Yeah.
Still, I bet you played a lot of Fleetwood Mac over the years.
A ton.
And was that one of the most, was that the band that had some of the most drama, that actually they stayed together despite all their internal drama that they had with each other?
And a lot of times great music comes out of turmoil within a band, and the Rumors album from them sold a bazillion copies, and that album had probably some of their best stuff on there with a ton of hit singles. And you're right, the turmoil within a band, it was really interesting to look at all the stuff that went on with them.
You know, I had a wake-up call, and a rock star, superstar, he's gone, no longer with us, but Jimi Hendrix would have been 80 this year. And I was like, you know, in your head, intellectually, you're like, yeah, he should be about that age. But you're like, Jimi Hendrix, 80?
Yeah.
You know, but the Rolling Stones, all of those 60s rockers are in their 80s. So
Tony and I had joked yesterday about, in your mind, you're still thinking most of these folks are in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And then you realize, no, the years have gone by.
They have. So yeah, play yourself some. Fleetwood Mac over the weekend. There's many albums to choose from. They were always kind of a. They were always like that esoteric band, you know, very atmospheric music, you know, kind of dreamy, dream quality stuff, and the wild costumes, and you know, how old is Stevie Nicks now? Is she approaching 82?
She must be. She's got to be up there. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they performed not too long ago. I thought they did something in the not too distant past, but now they've lost Christine McVie. So that's a big loss to the band. Indeed.
Didn't they fall out though? Still,
yes. They had a lot of issues in the band. Although I think Stevie has come out and said, you know, a lot of that stuff was blown out of proportion. But still, yes, there were a lot of issues that came up. And her musical history goes back to a band called Chicken Shack in the late 60s.
Really?
Yeah. She won awards as being a best vocalist in Great Britain back in those years. And then she joined Fleetwood Mac, and the rest is history as far as that band is concerned. But yeah, she had been around for a long time.
Still, I thought I was going to have to press the button on you there. Chicken Shack. Worried me there for a second.
The Chicken Shack.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, we've about put this can in, or this can. This guy was going to, I almost said this can in the hour. In the hour in the can.
Put the show in the can.
Can you tell it's late on a Friday? Yeah. It is 5:58. It's been great for Chris and I to be back with you here this afternoon. I think we're both here next week, right?
They're here this week, and then I'm taking off Thursday the following week.
Okay, very good. Now I've got some travel coming up as well. It's a busy time of year as everybody does their year-end meetings and conferences in preparation for 2023, which we're definitely all doing with all of you all. All right, remember, next week the Christmas giveaways will begin. We're going to take a pause here for Un Momento, and then we'll be back with our 6 o'clock hour featuring Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. Get you caught up on everything at the Supreme Court and more on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 101.9/94.1 News Talk.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.